Hey guys, what's up? I know it has been a hot minute since I have had an episode out. Totally my fault. I was super busy, graduated from my undergrad, then pretty much turned around and started my graduate program. So I've been a little bit busy. Did just finish my first graduate class, so that is super exciting. And then I've still got a few more going on this summer. And then this fall, I will begin the internship. So, sorry, I've just kind of been making that adjustment, moving home, getting kind of in a good routine and everything. But from here on out, I do plan to have episodes coming out every Wednesday-ish. Wednesday is kind of what I'm hoping for, but we'll see how it goes. So, yes, I am back. I'm super sorry about that. I am super excited to say that while I was not putting out episodes, I reached over 300 listens. So that is super exciting for me. Slowly kind of gaining something. And again, just to reiterate, I do have an Instagram out. I'm pretty sure it's just called Making a Dietitian, as this podcast's name. And if you have anything specific that you want me to talk about, want me to go over, make a topic, I would love for you to DM me. Just let me know. And I should be updating that soon. I'm gonna get some more graphics out this week on that Instagram account, just to let you know. Just like I said, I've been super busy, but now I feel like I have a little bit more time. So hopefully we see some good things. But today's episode is going to be it's a bonus episode on athletes and exercise and all of that good stuff. Just something I've kind of wanna been covering. Me personally, I've started going back to the gym. I got a membership this summer, and I've been trying to do that, almost every day or so. So diet is obviously something that goes hand in hand with exercising. So we're gonna talk about that today. I'm going to be covering the nutritional recommendations for athletes who compete or participate in different types of workouts. I'm going to kind of cover the energy supply to the body during different types of exercises because I think that's super important. And there's a lot of misconception about what exercise is best or, what's best for losing weight, what's best, all that talk. It's probably better explained in your nutrient metabolism classes or a physiology class, but for context, I'm just gonna explain as best I can. Super not in depth. Don't be coming at me for anything in depth, obviously. So ATP, heard about it, biology, fuel for the body and provides fuel as the breakdown between the phosphate bonds when that's transferred to the contractile filaments in the muscles. So that's what makes your muscles contract. Unfortunately, ATP is stored in very small amounts in the body, enough for a few seconds of exercise. So the body has to resynthesize ATP continuously. This is done through the first anaerobic pathway, creatine phosphate, where the phosphate is transferred to adenosine diphosphate, making ATP. The ATP-CP, creatine phosphate, system will only support exercise for a few seconds, such as powerlifting or a sprint. Anything longer than 8 seconds will need energy from an alternate source. I know this is like the boring part, but I promise it gets more exciting. So, glycolysis is the next energy pathway used to supply ATP to the muscles. Energy in glucose is released without oxygen present. And then lactic acid is the byproduct of the system and it accumulates in the blood and muscles, lowering the pH, causing fatigue. Yeah, that's the thing where your muscles kind of like start to like cramp up and they're like, ooh, this is not comfortable. That's your lactic acid. It is removed from the muscles and transported into the bloodstream, where it is then converted into energy in muscles, liver, or brain. Or it is converted to glycogen. Glycogen contributes up to 60 to 120 seconds of energy, which would include many sprinting sports. And then the last energy producing system is the aerobic pathway, meaning oxygen is necessary. So the Krebs cycle can provide up to 36 to 38 ATP per molecule of glucose as long as oxygen is present and there is an availability of substrate and coenzymes. ATP is provided through the metabolism of fats and proteins. So yeah, that was super boring, super brief. I know in the nutrient metabolism class, we go over that super hardcore. That's personally a very difficult class for me. So if you're in that, I hope you're doing well. My best advice for that class is to write out your cycles. Literally draw them out. Draw them out on paper as many times as you need to. It will work wonders for you. So yeah, when you're exercising, your body is going to use one or more of these pathways depending on the exercise you're doing and for how long the exercise is lasting. So obviously, if you're doing sprints and you're out here like, ooh, doing more than I could, you're probably going to be using more of like the glycolysis. But if you're doing weightlifting, running, I guess like running is kind of like moderate, walking for long distances or anything like that, you're probably more often going to be using the Krebs cycle, the aerobic pathways. So in long duration exercises, fats contribute more to the energy, and in high intensity exercises, they're going to rely more heavily on carbs. Because of this, sports such as basketball, football, soccer, swimming, they're super high intensity. You're mostly going to be using muscle glycogen. Moderate exercises, including jogging, hiking, dancing, recreational swimming, recreational, you know, whatever. This is going to use kind of like half muscle glycogen and then half blood glucose or fatty acids. And then you're going to have moderate and low intensity exercises such as walking is going to be fueled by the aerobic pathway using a greater portion of fat to create ATP. This is why walking is such a great exercise for fat loss, because fat cannot be broken down quickly enough for high intensity training. So, I know, crazy stuff. If you're out here trying to burn fat, you're going to want to go for more of those like low intensity, long duration activities. Walking, phenomenal, great. All that like 12:33 stuff that you see on TikTok, I do it. I love it. I mean, obviously, you don't see results like immediately, so that's fine. But yes. Also, but I'm pretty sure I say it's like somewhere in here, but you cannot target fat loss. You don't do it. That's not, you can't just say, oh, I want to get rid of my stomach fat, so I'm going to do all these crunches. No, you're not targeting fat loss. Like, that's just not how it works. You do just a general form of cardio, walking, running, long intensity, whatever you want to do, but it's not going to target specific areas in your body because you don't just like pull from only the areas that are being used. You pull from like all over your body. So it's not specific. And that's fine. Everybody is different. So someone may be able to burn fat on their stomach quicker than someone else. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all different. It doesn't matter. Anyway, spiel over. So energy requirements. You have to have an intake that is able to support your energy expenditure and ability to train. You can't just live at a constant calorie deficit and expect to be able to perform adequately. So yeah, your energy requirements are going to depend on age, gender, weight, height, what you're doing as you're training, how often you're training, and how long you're training. So most athletes who train, you know, exercise regularly can meet their goals by consuming anywhere from 1800 to 2400 calories per day. But obviously, competitive athletes engaging in high intensity training can eat anywhere from 2500 to 4000 calories a day. And then elite athletes, like U.S. Olympic athlete, not even specific U.S., any Olympic athlete, someone who's like getting it going, they're going to need anywhere from like 7,500 to 10,000 calories a day, depending on the volume and the intensity of the training and the phase of their training. Because, I mean, if they're, like, you know, competing at that moment, they really need to, like, load up on that food. Which just absolutely blows my mind. I cannot fathom eating 10,000 calories a day. It just sounds like so much. But it's gonna be done because they do so much and they need that. And that's how their body works. And that is phenomenal. Just absolutely crazy. So there is a formula that can be used to estimate energy needs for athletes. It's something like 500 plus 22 times lean body mass in kilograms. I'm be honest, never used it. It's called the Cunningham formula. I've never used it, never even seen it. It was in the book I was using. I really just prefer the Mifflin St. George equation and then using an activity factor depending on your activity level. I think I touched on this at some point, but it's like, oh, if you're sedentary and you're not participating in anything, I think you use the range of like whatever you get from the Mifflin St. George equation and then times 1.0 or 1.2. And then if you're like low activity, it's like 1.2 to 1.3. If you're moderate activity, it's like 1.4, 1.5.5. And then if you're like high intensity training, it can get anywhere to like 2 times 2 or something. Super easy to look up. I know some sources are like different, so it really just they're all basically the same. It just can kind of differ a little bit depending on where you look, but they're all relatively similar. I really prefer that because you're putting in an activity factor, and I have never had to calculate lean body mass, I don't think. So I'm not too concerned with that one. But yeah, moving on. Let's talk about concerns I have regarding energy intake in athletes or anyone who works out. So weight management is something that is a goal for a lot of individuals who focus on exercising. Yeah, that's a big thing. I like to maintain a certain weight. Have I been doing great at that recently? No, absolutely not. But that's fine. It's whatever. I just moved home. It's whatever. So weight loss can be a great thing that improves the quality of life for many people and can enhance performance regarding exercise and training. But many individuals who exercise get sucked into unhealthy diet culture and expectations from their workouts, especially when they compare themselves to others at the gym. Because of those expectations, I have to recommend and reiterate that healthy and sustainable weight loss comes with time. And that means a person should be losing weight at a rate of anywhere from 0.5 pound to 1 pound to 2 pounds per week over several weeks through exercise and healthy eating. The same can be said for weight gain too. Weight gain should be slow, and to accomplish, you know, a gain of lean muscle mass instead of fat, you know, you need to be probably adding anywhere from 500 to 1,000 calories per day, and then also have strength training along with that. And then also, this is very personal. It's going to look different for each and every person. So there's no certain way this is going to look. It's not going to look the same for everybody, and that's totally fine. You just don't want to get sucked into all that unhealthy stuff going on with like, oh, I follow all these influencers and they show me all these great workouts and I'm targeting fat loss. No, you're not. Oh, all these influencers are saying like, oh, if I work out and I take this supplement, I'm going to be able to burn fat in my stomach. No, you're not. Oh, I follow all these influencers and they look so good, and they say if I follow this workout, I'm gonna look just like them. No, you're not. And that's fine. You're not supposed to look like them. You're not built to look like them. Everybody is different, and there is no need for us to all look the exact same. It's just not how it works. And you know, you can use, you know, their workouts and everything, and you can say, oh, I want to look similar to that, but you don't need to sit there and compare every inch of yourself to this person in front of you. One, you don't know if they actually look like that. You don't know. They're on camera. They have makeup on. They're doing things because they want to try and sell you something. They're selling you a supplement. They're selling you a weight loss program. They're selling you a workout program. They're selling you something. And like, you just have to look at it through that lens. Like, I'm not that person. I'm not built to look like that person. And that's fine. Healthy looks different for every person and every body. There's no set standard for what healthy looks like. Thinness does not equal healthy. Being fat does not equal unhealthy. That's not how it works. It's so personal, and that is something that we all need to realize. You can be healthy and have a BMI that's going to say you're obese. Because BMI isn't perfect. BMI doesn't know you. BMI doesn't know how much muscle mass you have. That's not how it works. That's fine. You just have to be aware of what you're looking at and who you're looking at, and take that into consideration whenever you're comparing that to yourself. So yeah. So if you are someone who has been in a calorie deficit for a very long time and you're not seeing weight changes, you know, you're constantly at the gym and you've plateaued, you may need to make some changes to your diet. And this is a little hard to hear. So there's a lot out there about reverse dieting. There's some really good podcasts by dietitians out there that can better explain how to do reverse dieting than I can. I just don't think I have the background yet to like recommend the best way to do reverse dieting, which is fine. But in short, it's whenever you've been at a calorie deficit for so long that your metabolism has slowed down to match that intake. So you're just, because you're not consuming a lot of calories, you're not losing anything because now your metabolism is super slow. So to fix this, it's recommended that you increase your caloric intake to slowly speed up your metabolism. And I know with this, you're likely to have some weight gain, but with weight training, you know, a lot of that weight gain can be converted into lean body mass. And eventually you'll be able to go back into a caloric deficit and lose some weight. I don't recommend that you go all the way back down to what you were starting at, because it's just going to happen over again. But you can go to a small caloric deficit and you can work towards lowering that weight because your metabolism has sped back up. But like I said, I don't have all the details on that. This wasn't going to be an episode focusing like solely on that, but there are some good podcasts out there, and I'm going to try and link a few of them in the show notes so that you can go listen to those if you're interested. And they should be a really good resource for that. So I've already touched on the female athlete triad in my earlier videos, so I'm not going to go back through that again. I'm pretty sure it's in the life cycle one, probably, maybe with like child and adolescence. It's in there somewhere. I know it is. So I'm not going to go back over that. But I am going to touch on two other things that are concerning. Disordered eating. This is a huge problem for people who are in like the exercise, you know, physical activity community, people who go to gyms, athletes in general. This is a huge, huge problem. So it's so easy for people to get in their heads that they have to be eating perfectly, counting calories, and taking supplements, like, just ingrained in them, like, oh, I have to be perfect. And so this relationship with food becomes super strained, feeling more like a chore or tool than something necessary and something that can provide joy. Let's be honest, food can provide joy 100%, but you have to let yourself enjoy that. You have to give yourself a break. Oh, you want a brownie, but you're like, oh my gosh, it doesn't fit in my meal plan. It doesn't fit into what I think is perfect. If I do that, I'm going to gain 10 pounds. No. You are going to ruin your relationship with food if you have that mindset. So you've got to break away from that and thinking, like, food is food, okay? Like, fats are fats. Carbs are carbs. I mean, some can be better than others at times, but that doesn't mean you should just completely cut out sugars. That doesn't mean you should completely cut out fats. Like, some things are so good, and there's no reason for you to be super strict on yourself and have this horrible relationship with food, because food is good. Food is so good if you let yourself enjoy it. The goal from food in the eyes of athletes suffering from anorexia athletica is to perform to perfection and be perfect. So lean build sports such as running, swimming, gymnastics, dance, yoga, and wrestling, as well as many people I've personally seen in the gym and, you know, influencers desire to be unrealistically light or lean. Like, why? I'm 5'7" and I currently weigh between 150 and 160. And I'm not light. That's fine. I know I'm not. I used to weigh 135 and I had weighed that since junior year of high school. And all of a sudden I have this weight gain and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not light. I'm not lean. And I need to go to the gym to lose all this. Like, and I mean, I have also fallen into that kind of like mindset of, oh, this isn't good enough. I don't look good enough and all these crazy things, but no. And it takes mindfulness to kind of break out of that and not think, oh, I need to be spending hours on the cardio machines and, oh, I need to be restricting my diet to maintain a deficit and I have to be doing this because I don't look how society thinks I should look and I weigh more than what a lot of men think is acceptable. No. Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. You don't have to be light and lean to do yoga or to dance or do all these crazy things. I mean, like one of the examples was gymnastics. Have you seen Simone Biles? She is gorgeous, but she is pure muscle. So why do we all think we have to look like a freaking willow tree out here, all wispy and whatnot? No, you don't have to. And like this, I mean, I feel like this one is more towards women than men, and that's fine. There are men, obviously, who are also going to suffer from this. And we have to get it out of our heads that we have to be light and lean and look like a supermodel constantly. Why would we all want to look like that? It's boring. So on the flip side, a common concern regarding men who are athletic is muscle dysmorphia. So this is going to be when an individual believes their body is not muscular or large enough. Obviously, the idea that a man has to be muscular and large is often seen in westernized culture and is pressured on young men. And I will be the first to say, I think that this directly contributes to toxic masculinity. And that's fine if you disagree, if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to turn this off because this girl's talking about toxic masculinity, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Oh, okay, take it personally. I don't care. But it is. Why do we have it in our minds that, oh, women need to be light and lean and men need to be strong and muscular? They have to be, that's like the hunter-gatherer hunters. They have to look like this. No, they don't. Everybody is going to be different. Some men can't put on muscle or weight the same way that other men can. And, you know, it gets in their heads, especially at such a young age, oh, you need to be big and strong and drink your milk so you're big and strong and all this crazy stuff. Like, everybody is different. It doesn't have to all, we don't have to all look like that. So yeah, both of the previous concerns come from grossly distorted perceptions of an individual's own body. This is going to lead to disordered eating, exercise and substance abuse, caffeine, if you take a pre-workout, and then diet pills. Oh my gosh, like I said earlier, you have all these women trying to sell you diet pills. They don't work. You're going to shit your brains out. That's what's going to happen. You're going to lose water weight. That's what it is. Diet pills literally, I'm pretty sure, just water weight. Fat burning supplements. Again, fake. You can't target fat loss. Whatever. And an obsession with lifting and being lean. So yeah. I have linked the recommended like athlete plates link into the show notes so you can see how a diet can differ during like what season an athlete may be in, whether they're doing easy training, moderate training, or hard training. They're going to have specific needs, and you can follow that link to see that whenever it gets in the show notes. So now I'm going to go into the macro recommendations. The general need for carbs is going to be anywhere from like 5 to 7 grams per kilogram per day. If you're doing endurance training, it could be 7 to 10 grams per kilogram per day. And then for elite athletes, it can get all the way up to 12 grams per kilogram per day. Protein for endurance athletes could be 1.2 to 1.4 grams per kilogram per day. And then for strength athletes, could be 1.2 to 1.7 grams per kilogram per day. And then fat, which is the most concentrated source of food energy at 9 calories per gram. There's really not a need to increase fat intake due to exercise because a high fat diet can be detrimental to short-term performance. A high fat diet is shown to also compromise high intensity performance. And then a diet high in saturated fats and trans fats can lead to inflammation and increase the amount of time necessary to recover during an injury. I will say, when talking about macros, you still want to follow the basic rule of, you know, like the distribution. If you go back to the introduction macro talk, you can see like the percentage of what your calories should be. Because again, like I say these ranges, but I don't recommend like calorie counting and everything. I think intuitive eating is a much better approach. I mean, unless you're like on a very, very strict diet, as if you're an Olympian or you're like, you know, I don't know if they even do that in like D1 schools. I think that's a little over the top, but possibly. You know, you may need to be counting those, but as someone like myself who just goes to the gym and I'm not like an athlete per se, I do not expect anyone like myself or otherwise to be counting their calories. That's just more of like ranges for dietitians who may be listening. And then fluid is necessary to decrease losses from exercise. Always be drinking your water. Before exercise, drink 400 to 600 milliliters 2 or 3 hours before exercising. And then during exercise, you want to drink 150 to 350 milliliters every 15 to 20 minutes, depending kind of like the environment, what you're doing, all that sort of stuff. And then after exercise, you want to consume anywhere from 450 to 675 milliliters of fluid for every pound of body weight lost during exercise. Because if you're losing weight during exercise, like right after an exercise, it's water weight. You're losing water because you're sweating. You're not just going to like, bam, oh wow, look, 3 pounds gone. Oh no, that's not really how it works. And then micros. Obviously very important, but I didn't go in depth on them because one, I feel like every time I go into micros, I'm just like listing stuff off and I feel like that can get so repetitive. It's going to be dependent on each individual and their own training goals, and losses. Electrolytes, I will say, you do need to replenish those. So like Gatorade's good, although I don't really drink any of those kind of sports drinks after working out just because I think they're high in a lot of unnecessary things. But, you know, to each their own, I guess. I'm not going to say don't drink a Gatorade because you do need to replenish your electrolytes. I'd just say maybe like through eating or something, eat something good. But drink a lot of water, main takeaway from that. So to kind of finish off this episode, I'm going to cover bulking and cutting from like a nutrition standpoint. I will say I am not the number one source for this information. I will try and link some podcasts into the show notes to cover this topic if I can find some really good ones, ones that I trust, not just like someone who's talking out of their ass. Whenever you're bulking, it can be just a few weeks, but if you really want to see results, it's going to last about 3 to 4 months. So during bulking, an individual should be increasing their caloric intake. Unfortunately, this will lead to some fat gain, but more importantly, it's going to lead to a lot of muscle gain. So you could be gaining like, 5 pounds of fat, but you could also at the same time get 15 to 20 pounds of muscle put on. So you really do have to focus on the positives. during the period of bulking, you want to be, you know, lifting heavy so that you are building muscle with that, you know, increase of core, like calories. I had a friend, and we would talk about this because I just recently started bulking because I don't think I even have enough muscle to even try and cut. And I really just want to build up my muscles before I even attempt to do cutting because I'm not good at that. It's more of like you want to do heavy, heavy weight and not a ton of reps. And she, whenever she would do it, it would be like, you shouldn't be able to do more than like 5 to 6 reps with the weight that you're doing. That's how heavy it should be. Because you really want to push your muscles so that they're building. On the other hand, cutting is going to be for a shorter period of time, taking place about 8 to 12 weeks. You really want to focus on higher reps and lower weight. And then also utilize some form of cardio for higher caloric expenditure. So while calories should be cut during this time, please be mindful of your needs and don't drastically cut your calories or you're going to alter your metabolic rate. And that's what's going to cause you to plateau, is if you just cut it way too much. And then you're going to have to do reverse dieting. And it's not, like, great. It's not fun. I feel like it's not fun. So, you know, like, you're decreasing your caloric intake. Please still maintain those ranges, you know, 45 to 60% carbs, 10 to 35% protein, and then 20 to 35% fat. Maintain those, just like decrease your intake ish. You're still lifting, like you're doing higher reps, lower weight. You're still gonna have those muscles. You're just not gonna be like trying to build. You're more of like fat loss whenever you're cutting. So that's where you're gonna lose your fat that you gained while bulking. Congrats. So during either period, it's recommended that you avoid processed foods and focus more on high protein foods. And then again, I just say, you know, focus on your macros. You could probably, if you're like really focusing on your muscle and your lean body mass, do more of the higher end of the protein range and then maybe lower it a little bit in the fat or carb range, but still stay in those ranges, please. Unless you are specifically told otherwise by, like, a doctor or a physician or anything like that. I can't speak for, like, absolutely everybody. So that's really what I have to cover, I think. Main takeaway, if anything, is everybody is different and you do not owe anyone anything in terms of how you look or how you perform. And if you're scared of going to the gym, I mean, 100% can't blame you because I think that sometimes gym culture can be a little toxic, but I really encourage you, do anything, walk outside, find your cheapest gym membership, do the little things, and don't be embarrassed. Everyone's too focused on themselves to notice you, I promise. Nobody cares. But yeah, that's really all I have to say. Just stay healthy. That's all. Focus on your health. Don't listen to the lies that you can target fat loss or that diet pills work or anything like that. They don't. That's just kind of crazy talk. That's all. So, yes, again, I'm so glad that I'm finally back. And, yeah, hopefully I will continue on with the streak. Sorry, I kind of left you on that cliffhanger. And we'll just start getting back into it. Again, follow me on Instagram. I'll have more stuff up eventually. It just takes a while to make those little cute things. And DM me with anything that you want to talk about. And look in the show notes for all the extra podcasts to listen to or all the recommendations. So I'll see y'all later. Bye.